Hi everyone, this is Leanne and I am here with Amy Palko this morning, someone who I just became aware of recently and I'm super excited to talk to. She does amazing work around archetypes and is just the perfect person to talk about women who run with the wolves, and in fact sparked the idea of these interviews when I heard her talking to Rana Dietrich about how important that book had been to her. So welcome, Amy. I'm so happy to chat with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, darling. Thank you so much for asking me.
So the first question I have for you is, when did you first read Women Who Run With the Wolves?
Do you know, that's such an interesting question, because when I try and think back to when did I actually get this book, and when did I actually then sit down and read it, and did I read it all in a oneer, or I think what I've actually done is I've picked through it and read it all in pieces, actually. But I think it was in the final stages of my PhD, which was a very fraught period of time. Put it mildly.
as they also often are.
Absolutely. And I felt, as a mother of three children who I home educate and trying to, you know, get this thesis project all together and coherent and submitted on time, I actually felt as though the pieces of myself were falling apart. I felt very fragmented. And I remember at that period of time in my life sort of casting around for something, a lifeline really, anything which would help me to rediscover the parts of myself and to reintegrate them into some kind of whole self. And I found Women Who Run With the Wolves.
And so how many years ago was that?
Oh, that must be 2007, I would say.
So about 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah. Yeah, it must be.
And it sounds like you pick it up on a regular basis.
I do. It's one of those wonderful books that, like, no matter what you're going through in your life, this is what I do, is I kind of just close my eyes and then I kind of thrum through the pages and then I open up and see kind of what I'm at.
Yeah.
And invariably, it's, you know, you end up laughing because it's just too appropriate.
Yeah. I love that. Sort of like a little oracle, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's completely my oracle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly what it is.
So is there a particular story in the book that really resonates with you?
Oh, very much so. I mean, there's been different stories at different points over a period of time. But I think the one story that for me has really resonated is Sealskin Soulskin. Mm-hmm. When I finally completed the PhD and handed it in, we then moved away from that home. There was a lot of problems surrounding that period of time and that space particularly. And we moved to our apartment by the water. So I've got these big windows that look out onto the deep harbour. And beyond that is the wide mouth of the River Forth, which opens up to the North Sea. Mm-hmm. And so there's this expanse of sky and sea and horizon. There's the ships coming and going. There's the Arctic terns, the seagulls, the seals.
Yeah.
When I finally got to this point in my life and I had arrived in this space, I think I stood and watched out the window for about 3 days solid, almost without moving.
Yeah.
And just found this enormous sense of peace and tranquility, and really allowed myself to come back to who I am. And then I read Sealskin Soulskin, and it was like, ah, oh, there we go. This is where I find my soulskin. This is where I find my soulskin.
Yeah.
That's that. And then later on, I took up knitting. I went through a period of time where I felt very sort of frantic and lots of creative ideas shooting off here, there and everywhere. And when I get into that kind of chaotic state, one of the things I like to do is come back to knitting. Mm-hmm. So I had these big bamboo needles, like really thick ones,
yeah,
and very beautiful fine wool, which is the same colour as the water. And I just started knitting very simply. And I was thinking, what am I knitting? You know, I didn't even start the pattern, you know. I thought, well, what am I knitting here? And I thought, oh, I'm knitting a shawl. You know, I'm knitting a shawl. And then it just popped into my head and went, no, you're not. You're knitting a soul skin.
Oh.
And I thought, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm knitting my soul skin.
Wow.
And it was just, it was such a powerful act, actually, to then sit and create this soul skin, that this sort of garment, this sacred garment that I can wrap around myself. At those points where I feel fragmented or I feel worn thin, I feel like the well is now well and truly empty and there's nothing left to give in. And I can come back to myself. And then I started thinking, you know, maybe other women would like this too. Maybe this is something that I can create for other women. And that's now one of my signature offerings is the soul skin readings.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just get chills listening to you talk about that. It's so beautiful to think of, you know, taking something like, oh, and just having this special, like you say, this sacred garment.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been such an interesting process knitting people's soul skins for them, though, because it's really quite an intuitive process. You know, as I'm knitting, I'm quite conscious with every stitch that I'm weaving through loving energy.
Yeah.
But also, it's amazing the kind of things that kind of pop into your head or happen on the water. You know, the different ships that arrive with the different names, and you know, I note all of that down. Or if there's songs that come through, sometimes I find myself singing while I'm knitting.
Wow!
So, and images, or you know, fragments of poems, or and I kind of note all of these things down as I'm actually in the process of knitting. So when I send it to somebody, it's sent along with a handwritten letter, basically describing the story of their soul skin.
Wow.
So yeah, it's ended up a really powerful
and so,
practice, actually, for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's become a metaphor for everything you do. Even when you're doing your other work that doesn't involve knitting, there's that element of helping people knit themselves back together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a very strong believer in moving towards a state of full self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to try and integrate and accept all the parts of ourselves, and in the understanding that we are all microcosms of a larger macrocosm. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We are just reflecting back the whole. We can't help but do that, and therefore, if we accept everything about ourselves, we become much more accepting of other people, and we become more compassionate in our response to ourselves and to others.
Right.
And so, yeah, self-acceptance by integrating all parts of the whole, I see as the main journey through life, actually.
Absolutely. And such an important part of what Women Who Run With the Wolves is about.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Because for such a long time, all of these wild parts of ourselves, these parts which are deemed somehow unacceptable, have been shoved to the sidelines or pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
And really allowing them to have some kind of free and full expression, not just with some kind of tolerance, but with active celebration, is just thrilling.
Yeah.
You know, everything just seems so much brighter and more vivid. It's like that moment in Wizard of Oz when Dorothy walks through into the technicolored Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, you know, more present and more juicy and everything.
Yeah.
Just more delicious that way, you know.
Oh, I love that you have like a story in the book that kind of is almost, you know, you have your sacred garment and you have this sacred story that sort of has encapsulates your work and grounds you. Wow, I love this. What would you say in terms of how did reading this book help you in particular integrate those wild pieces that had been neglected?
Well, actually, when we were talking about that, I suppose one of the stories that really kind of comes into my mind is La Mariposa, you know, the butterfly woman, the butterfly dance.
Mm-hmm.
And about, because I think one of my sort of major parts of my journey is about coming back to my body. And about allowing myself to be embodied and being fully accepting of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular story, I think, and the section, I think, on body talk and the wild flesh, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of helped me to see my own physicality as a blessing, you know, and as the true gift that it is. And yeah, I would say that's one of the main stories for me that really helped with that aspect of integrating the physical into everything, actually. Yeah.
And that's such a big piece of what is in our culture as women. You know, we're just, the body becomes sort of our enemy. We have to shape it and mold it and make it fit some ideal that, and even as we age, it's this, you know, this quest for youth that keeps us at war with what's really going on with our physical selves.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel as though the last month or so I've been through such a journey with this about really allowing myself to come back into the flesh of my body and to really access the wisdom that's available within the veins of myself. Because it's such a resource that we just don't allow ourselves to access very
often. Yeah. And how do you do that? How do you get back in touch, or how do you get back in that place where you're really feeling embodied?
Well, one of the things I do is I do something called sort of physical presence, or what I call physical presence, where I allow myself to do some meditative work, but my meditation, I've never been very good at meditation.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I think it's because my concept of meditation was always that, you know, I had to try and not think of anything. You know? Sometimes I think somebody described it to me, you could think of yourself as sitting on a mountain and looking out at a blue sky, and any thoughts that come past are just clouds, and you can just, like, and I'm like going, no, I can't do that. It doesn't work for me. So for me, it's about coming back to the body. So by closing my eyes, really focusing on my inhale, feeling the fabric of my clothing brush against the surface of my skin, feeling the little hairs along my arms, feeling, you know, what, and asking myself things like, well, what is the insole? What does the insole of my foot feel like? Yeah. Or, you know, or that rib, that fifth rib, how's that feeling?
Yeah, exactly.
And really allowing myself to really focus in on this physical moment.
And very sensual.
Absolutely. So I find that helps a lot. Other things, really just allowing myself to enjoy the sensuality of every moment, you know? And whenever you find yourself getting caught up in sort of the worries of the everyday or your to-do list or, you know, like we all do, just really coming back to, you know, the fragrant cup of tea that you're holding in your hand, or, you know, the sound of the birds, you know, sort of resonating in your ears as you're walking to the bus stop, or the feel of the breeze going along your cheekbone, or, do you know, any of these kind of things, just allowing yourself to really feel and asking yourself, how does my body feel in this moment? Mm. You know, such an important question.
Yeah. I love that. So we're going to have some people probably in this who are participating in the book club who have not yet read this wonderful book. And I'm wondering what might you say to those women who are getting to dip their toe in for the first time?
I think you probably get two different types of readers. One who will look at the size of the book and see it as, you know, a very inviting deep pool, and will be relishing the fact that it's how many pages long? Over 450. Oh, 500. And then you'll get other people who are very intimidated by it. And I think my advice for those who are intimidated by it are to explore it on their own terms. And really, you know, have a look through the index and see what attracts their eye, you know, in the first instance. Is there a story that's there that's familiar to you and you're interested to explore it more? Is there one that's unfamiliar to you? Is there a specific aspect which seems to resonate with something going on in your life at the moment? And hop to that chapter. You know, I think the wonderful thing about this text is that it responds to the way in which you approach it.
Yeah.
And I think rather than creating a vision of this text as a dictator, you know, where you have to start on page one and work all the way to the end, you know, to really allow yourselves to be playful with it and to let yourself dance through the text. Mm-hmm. And I think that's perhaps a much more accessible way for those who are feeling a bit intimidated by the length of it.
Ah, oh, beautiful, beautiful advice. And finally, we are going to be sharing this interview with Dr. Estes as a thank you and a celebration for her work. It is the 20th anniversary of the publication of the book. It was actually released on September 17th, 1992. So I was wondering if you had anything that you would like to say to Dr. Estes before we wrap up.
I've been wondering about this. What do I say? I think what I would want to say is that this is the book that I'm going to give my daughter when she turns 16 in 2 years' time, because it holds within it the wisdom and all the treasure, I think, of what it means to be a whole woman, you know, to show up fully in your life. And if I could wish anything for my daughter for the rest of her life is that she lives it wildly.
Oh.
And yes, to say thank you to her, you know, from the bottom of my heart that I get to give that gift to her. So that was what I would say.
Thank you, Amy. That was just beautiful. And I'm sure that just gave me goosebumps, and I'm sure Dr. Estes will love to hear that too. And the idea of passing this on to our daughters, oh, that just makes me want to cry a little, you know, like with just, it's imagining having this book when I was 16.
Yeah,
and exactly. what a difference that would have made. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much, Amy. I'm going to wrap up there and just let you know how much I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome, darling. Thank you again for asking me.